last night, we were watching, some of us were watching Britain's Got Talent, and there was this guy, shoved a sword down his throat, climbed up a pole, and slid down and stopped with millimetres from this throat being shoved into his stomach. And he said, "I'm willing to die on this show to give the best performance ever." And I thought, what a nutter. And then me and Nathan were talking a bit later on about people who do stupid things running across train tracks for a laugh. And often we can look at people and how they're living and look at what they're doing and think they're mental. And it got me thinking how many people are looking at me and living my life the way I do my life and are thinking that I'm mental. And probably you, like me, will look at other people and think, why do you do what you're doing? So this morning, we're going to look at a Bible passage that when I was looking at it, I thought, this guy must be mental. And Rachel said to me this morning, would he really have done that? How stupid does he have to be? So if you'd like to turn with me to the Bible this morning, we're going to be looking at Judges 16, and we're going to be looking at Samson and Delilah. So just before we look at this passage, I'll just pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your word is alive today. We thank you, Lord, that your word can impact our lives and change us and transform us. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll speak to us this morning and that we will see changes in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, so it's Judges 16. It says, "One day Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told, 'Samson is here.' So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, 'At dawn we will kill him.' But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate together with the two posts and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, 'See if you can lure him into Shur, showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver.' So Delilah said to Samson, 'Tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued.' Samson answered her, 'If anyone ties me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man.' Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. With men hidden in the room, she called to him, 'Samson, the Philistines are upon you.' But he snapped the bowstrings as easy as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, 'You have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied.' He said, 'If anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man.' So Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them. Then with men hidden in the room, she called him, 'Samson, the Philistines are upon you.' But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were threads. Delilah then said to Samson, 'All this time you have been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me how you can be tied.' He replied, 'If you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric of the loom and tighten it with a pin, I'll become as weak as any other man.' So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head, wove them into the fabric and tightened them with a pin. Again she called to him, 'Samson, the Philistines are upon you.' He awoke from his sleep and pulled up the pin and the loom with the fabric. Then she said to him, 'How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the 3rd time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength.' With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. So he told her everything. 'No razor has ever been used on my head,' he said, 'because I have been a Nazarite dedicated to the God from my mother's womb. If my head was shaved, my strength would leave me and I would become as weak as any other man.' When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, 'Come back once more, he has told me everything.' So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. After putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called Samson, "The Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles. They set him to grinding the grain in the prison, but the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. So we see Samson here. Samson was a Nazarite, and a Nazarite was somebody special who'd been set aside for God. There was lots of rules that a Nazarite had to follow, and one of them included not having your hair cut from birth. He was to grow his hair and not to have his cut. And an angel of the Lord had visited Samson's parents and said that God would be with him, that he was going to be a judge, and that he would lead his people away from the Philistines who were oppressing them. But one of the problems with Samson was he liked breaking the rules that he was supposed to keep. And one of the main problems he had was with his eyes. Whenever he saw something that he wanted, he would take it, whether that would be food or whatever. But what the main thing he struggled with was women. Whenever he saw a beautiful woman, he would chase after a beautiful woman. Even if it meant getting him into trouble, even if he knew there was going to be consequences for him and for other people. So far in this story, Samson had broken most of the rules he was supposed to have kept, even apart from cutting his hair. One of the few rules that he had kept was keeping his hair. And here it brings us to the story with Delilah. But let's look at the first verses. It says, "One day Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told, 'Samson is here.' So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, 'At dawn we will kill him.' But Samson lay there only till the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate." Sorry, 2 seconds. "He took hold of the city gate together with the two posts and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron." So Samson's a bit daft here. Samson has already been fighting with the Philistines. There'd been mass slaughter where he'd killed a lot of Philistines. There was a war going on because of his attraction to other women. He'd been married and that never worked out because of his sin. And then he chased after another woman. Things were going mental. He was constantly fighting with the Philistines. But what does he do? Does he keep away from them? No, he goes to one of their main cities. He goes to a city where he knows there's going to be danger, where he knows there's going to be trouble. And while he's there, he sees a woman who leads him into temptation. And while he's in temptation, there's danger all around him. People are plotting to kill him. He is going there, and he's sly. He knows people are plotting to kill him, but he's sly. He makes preparations so he can go in and sin and get out if anything happened to him. He leaves early, and he abuses the gift that God had given him. God had given him superhuman strength to help fight for God. But instead of using it to fight for God, he was using it to escape from people he was sinning against. And it reminds me a little bit about his cockiness, reminds me a bit about myself. When I was younger, when I managed a pub, we used to have a fruit machine. And I used to go at the safe and take money out the safe. And I'd put money in the fruit machine, and more often than not, I'd lose. And I'd be a couple of £100 down, and I'd be thinking, flipping heck, how am I going to get away with this? I owe a couple of £100. And if I borrowed more money and then I won it back, I'd feel cocky because I did it so many times and I ended up being able to borrow the money or winning the money back. I thought, I can keep on doing this. I'm not bothered about the consequences because I always keep getting away with it. And this is what Samson's like. He keeps on sinning and he keeps on getting away with it. And this morning I want us to think, we think Samson is stupid by going to a place that is dangerous and a place where he's going to fall into sin. But how often do we do the same thing? How often do we go to places or hang around with people where we know we're going to be tempted into sin? Do we sin so often with the same thing that we become cocky? That we think, it doesn't matter. I've been doing this for so long now. Nothing happens. I'll keep on doing. What does it matter? We could be doing things physically, like Maybe he's with surfing the web, or maybe he's we're knocking around with old friends and people that lead us into trouble. Or maybe he's we're doing it mentally. Maybe he's we're sinning in our minds. Maybe we're holding on to anger. Maybe we're holding on to unforgiveness. Maybe we're looking back in the past and thinking it was so much better before I was married, or it was so much better before I was a Christian. Maybe it's we're looking at other people and wishing we had what they had and wishing that they didn't have it and that we deserved it more. You see, no matter what sin we're doing, if we do it often enough, we can become cocky in it. The next verses say, sometime later he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, see if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him, so we may that tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver. So even escaping from his past sin, he's escaped from that. People wanted to kill him and he escaped. So what does he do? Sometime later, he goes back to another Philistine place. He goes back to a valley of Sorek, and he sees this woman, and again, his lust, his desires take over, and he wants to be with this woman rather than do what God requires of him. And he knows there could be consequences, and he knows there could be major consequences. Reminds me a bit of the moths. Have you ever seen a moth on a night flying around, hitting a light bulb, singeing its wings, or if it's on a candle, it'll go up. It's irresistible. A light flame to a moth is irresistible. I've tried finding out why they do it. Some people think it's because they think it's the moon. Some people think it's because the light is something like gives off similar light waves to what a female moth does, so they think it's only stupid men chasing women that get burned. And other people think it's just they're trying to avoid it. But really, nobody knows why the moth always burns itself on a light bulb or a candle. The thing is, moths find light irresistible, even though they're going to burn and die. And in a similar way, we can be the same. We can know something is bad for us. We can know something is going to lead to major trouble for us. But we still chase it. We still desire it. We still want it. So are we really any different from this stupid man, Samson? What are we loving and what are we looking for that wants to destroy us? You see, Samson was chasing something that wanted to kill him. And sometimes we can do the same thing. We can be like Samson and the moths. And what we desire most can be the worst thing possible for us. If we look at the next verses, verses 6 to 14, it says, so Delilah said to Samson, tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up to the Jews. Samson answered her, if anyone ties me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man. Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she tied them. With men hidden in the room, she called to Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Snap the bowstring as easy as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. So what we see is Samson, over and over again, tells Delilah the secret of his strength, but he lies to her. So Samson doesn't trust Delilah. Samson knows Delilah is bad for him. So he's using Delilah for his own good. He's thinking, well, I enjoy being with Delilah, even though she's bad for me. So basically, they're abusing each other here. Delilah is with Samson so she can get a load of money by betraying him. And Samson doesn't really love her because he's only with her for one thing, because he knows she doesn't love him and wants to betray him, but he lusts after her that much. He's willing to risk his life by being with her. And over again, she's constantly trying to drop him in it. His desire for Delilah controls him. He is controlled by his desire. Now, often we can see documentaries. I watched one the other week about a drug addict who was on the streets. He was homeless. Sorry, can you just knock the volume down on there? It's hissing in the background. Just knock that one right off. So there was a homeless man who, there was a celebrity walking around with him for a few days, and the celebrity was feeling really sorry for him. And he took this homeless man to a hostel, And this guy was in a hostel and he was offered a job and he was offered a chance to get off the drugs and have a better life and a new start. But this guy, after a few weeks, had had enough and went back to the streets and was back on the drugs. And at first I was thinking, what an idiot, why has he done that? He's had an opportunity to get his life sorted. And I forgot what sin and what addiction is like. You see, this heroin addict started taking drugs and he was in control. He took it and the drugs were fun. He enjoyed taking it. He maybe had a job and he maybe had a life. I know he had children and he had parents. But bit by bit, he stopped controlling using the drug and the drug started controlling him. And before long, he'd lost everything. You see, that drug's desire was to destroy him. And sin's desire is to destroy us. If we're chasing anything other than God, it will ultimately control us. And ultimately, it will lead to our destruction. Is there anything that's controlling us this morning? Some people, I did, need a fag before they can talk to anybody in the morning. Before 8 o'clock in the morning, it wasn't worth having a conversation with me unless they had one or two cigarettes. But some people won't even leave the house till they've put makeup on. Some people won't leave the house till they've tidied up. Some people can't leave the house till they've had two or three cups of coffee. Maybe you can't go throughout a day without gossiping about somebody. It doesn't just mean being controlled by heroin. We are often controlled by lots of sins. Some of the things we're controlled by aren't necessarily bad. But when it is bad is when we can't do something without it. When it becomes a problem is when we're controlled by it. When we start worshipping good things, that's when it becomes a problem. The next verses are 15 to 22. It says, "Then she said to him, 'How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength.' With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. So he told her everything. 'No razor has ever been used on my head,' he said, 'because I have been a Nazarite, dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head was shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man.' When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, 'Come back once more. He has told me everything.' So the rulers of the Philistines returned with their silver in their hands. After putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, 'Samson, the Philistines are upon you.' He awoke from his sleep and thought, 'I'll go out as before and shake myself free.' But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles. They set him to grinding grain in the prison, but the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved." So Samson's main problem came from his eyes. Everything he looked at that he found desirable, he wanted, whether it was right or wrong, especially with women. So a lot of the problems that came in Samson's life was because he was looking and distracted by things of this world. And every time he sinned, there was a consequence, but he managed to escape it. So after a while, he got cocky. And instead of trusting in God, he was trusting in himself to get himself out of situations. Samson wasn't repentant. Every time he cocked up, he never said, "Sorry, Lord." He just thought, "Well, I got away with that one. I'll do it again." Eventually, his cockiness led to him getting caught out. He told the secret of his strength, and Delilah shaved off his hair. And it said that is when God left him. So Samson wasn't strong because of his hair. Samson was strong because God was with him. But eventually God had had enough of Samson sinning and being unrepentant that he left Samson and he was powerless. He gets imprisoned and they remove his eyes. The very thing that was causing him the trouble in the first place is where he suffered. His eyes were causing him the trouble and his eyes were removed. The cost of sin is massive. We see sin in people's lives in this country. We see murders on the news. We see war. We see death. We see people in jail. We see people losing their jobs. But the worst thing about sin is we become separated from God. You see, Samson could have protected his relationship with God by protecting his eyes. If he'd have stopped staring at beautiful women and food and lusting after the things of the world, if he'd have put his focus and his eyes upon God, then he'd have avoided the suffering. He'd have avoided the consequence of his sin. Let's look at the final verses. It says, verse 23 says, "Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, 'Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands.' When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, 'Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain.' While they were in high spirits, they shouted, 'Bring out Samson to entertain us.' So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, 'Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against them.' Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, 'Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes.' Then Samson reached towards the central pillars on which the temple stood. Bracing himself against them, his right hand on one and his left on the other, Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than when he lived. Then his brothers and his father's whole family went down to get him. They brought him back and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in a tomb of Manoah his father. He had led Israel for 20 years. So God's warrior, God's judge who'd been looking after Israel, was finally captured. He was captured, and the people who captured him, the Philistines, began mocking him. And not just him, but mocking God. They started worshipping their idols and laughing at Samson and his God and God's people. They bring Samson out to ridicule him and to mock him. And while he's there, while he's blind, while he's got nothing to look at, he starts thinking spiritually. He starts looking with his spiritual eyes. Rather than looking at with his worldly eyes, he starts reminding himself about God. And he repents, he turns back to God and asks God to remember him one more time. He asks God to help him defeat God's enemies and rescue God's people. And God answers that prayer. So he was once blind, but no longer distracted by the world. So what seemed like a bad consequence worked out for good, because while he was blind, he could see what really mattered, and what really mattered was honouring his Father in heaven. He became focused on God. So many of us can be chasing things of this world, but when trouble comes, often we have nowhere to look but to God. Our new house won't help me if my wife or children is ill. My car won't help me if problems come. When problems come, the stuff that we're chasing will not help us. The only person who can help us is our Father in heaven. So this morning, I want us to think about, where are our eyes focused this morning? Are they focused on the worries or the pleasures of this world? Are they focused on a God and Saviour who can set us free from this world? You see, God used Samson to save his people from the Philistines. But Samson was a man who was flawed. He was distracted by sin. He was weak and followed the lusts of the world. But the good news is that God also sent another man. He sent Jesus Christ to save the world, not just from its enemies, but to save the world from death and to save the world from sin. But unlike Samson, Jesus wasn't distracted by his eyes. His eyes were focused on God. His eyes were focused on living a perfect life and dying a perfect death in our place, taking the punishment that we deserved, so that we can trust in him and know that we are forgiven. We can trust in him and know that we can turn our life around, not just on this earth, but forever. We know that we can be set free from sin, from death, from addictions, and from sin. So if, like Samson, we're ever finding ourselves flirting with sin and getting away with it, we need to remember that sin, no matter how good it might feel, how good it might appear, sin wants to destroy us. We need to look at all areas of our life. Is there any areas of our life that we're no longer in control of? Is there something in our lives and in our hearts that controls us? Something that controls our emotions, controls what we do and how we live and how we behave? Do we need to be putting things into place to help us with our struggles? Do we need to be looking at accountability? Do we need to be avoiding people or places or old habits? If we are struggling, there's hope, there's good news. Because no matter what area we are struggling in with, no matter how far in sin we have fallen, we can always be like Samson and turn to God and say, God, remember me. We can trust in Jesus for our forgiveness and we know a freedom from sin and death. So let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank you that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we just pray, Lord, that when our eyes are distracted, Lord, when our eyes are chasing the pleasures of this world, Lord, when we are struggling in sin, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you will help us to remember you, Lord, that our eyes will be focused on you. Thank you that no matter how far we may have fallen into sin or difficulties, Lord, it's never too far for you to rescue us. Thank you that you are a God who rescues his people, Lord. And I just pray that you will help us keep our eyes focused on you this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.